Hello, sunshine. Happy Friday Eve. Just today and tomorrow, and then we're going to be rocking into the weekend. I'm Coy Wire. This is CNN 10, where I tell you the what, letting you decide what to think. Let's start today with the latest crisis we're seeing in Haiti. Since we last discussed this story last week, the Caribbean nation is still seeing chaos as coordinated gangs have continued to attack law enforcement and state institutions, especially in the capital, Port-au-Prince. These gangs had been demanding the resignation of the country's prime minister, Ariel Henry, and now their demands are being met. Earlier this week, Henry said he and his government will relinquish their power after a new prime minister and cabinet have been selected. Prime Minister Henry has not been in Haiti for weeks as he left for Kenya to sign an agreement for Kenyan forces to help restore order in Haiti. But Kenyan officials say that a Haitian government needs to be put into place before they will allow their soldiers to be deployed there. The U.S. is trying to help Haiti by funding a total of $300 million to the Kenyan-led security missions, as well as assisting the Haitian people by contributing an additional $33 million for humanitarian assistance. Speaking of the Haitian people, the gang violence has spiraled out of control. CNN is reporting that tens of thousands have been forced to leave their homes and more than 300,000 are displaced. The United Nations estimates about 80% of Haiti's capital is now being controlled by gangs. Our Patrick Ottman has more.
For more than a week, Haiti's marauding gangs prevented Prime Minister Ariel Henry from returning to the country he was supposed to lead. Until finally, Henry reached a breaking point and agreed on Monday night to resign.
My government will leave immediately after the inauguration of the council. We will be a caretaker government until they name a prime minister and a new cabinet. Haiti needs peace. Haiti needs stability.
Henry had traveled from Haiti to Kenya to sign an agreement with the government there to provide troops to fight the out-of-control gangs terrorizing his beleaguered nation. Once he left, the gangs united to further batter the Haitian government in a series of coordinated attacks. The latest explosion of violence leading to a massive jailbreak that freed thousands of prisoners, closed the country's main airport indefinitely, and forced the United States and other embassies to evacuate diplomats by helicopter. The news of Henry's impending resignation is not placating the leaders of gangs, though, who have threatened an all-out civil war.
We in Vivasan are demanding that the Haitian people must choose the person who will lead the country.
But it is the Haitian people who are suffering the most. More than 300,000 have been displaced by the violence, the UN says. Gangs block access to food, water, and hospitals. On Monday, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken met with regional leaders in Jamaica and announced an increase in U.S. funding to the security mission to be led by Kenyan troops.
I'm announcing today that the United States Department of Defense is doubling its approved support for the mission from $100 million to $200 million. And that brings the total U.S. support to $300 million for this effort.
Following the announcement that Henry will resign, Kenyan officials now saying a government needs to be in place in Haiti before their troops can deploy, creating more doubt of when exactly they will have boots on the ground to begin fighting the heavily armed local gang. For too many Haitians living in a country where there is no longer a functioning government, no escape from the violence, it is already too late.
10-second trivia. There's been an uproar online over the cost of a Big Mac meal at a McDonald's in Darien, Connecticut. What's the price? $10, $12, $18, or $20? If you said $18, that is correct. It's becoming an increasing trend on social media to see users sharing a look at their fast food meals and questioning the cost as prices skyrocket in the U.S. Now, you may be familiar with surge pricing from apps like Uber that charge you a different price for the same service depending on the time of day and how many people want it at the same time. Airlines, hotels, event and sports ticket vendors, they've been using this strategy for a long time, allowing them to bump prices up or down depending on demand. Well, now restaurants are experimenting with surge pricing too. The Wall Street Journal reports that this month, San Diego-based Cali Barbecue, for instance, would charge you around $18 $10 for a pulled pork sandwich delivered on a Saturday night, but it would only cost you about $12 on a weekday afternoon. Last month, Wendy's announced it too would test surge pricing, but after customer backlash, the fast food chain said it would instead offer discounts in the slower hours. The restaurant industry is still bouncing back after the pandemic. Restaurants are looking into surge pricing as a way to boost profits and offset growing labor and food costs amid the supply shortages. So what say you? If you own a restaurant, would you try surge pricing? If so, how would you justify and introduce it to your customers? If not, and you had to boost revenue, how else would you do it? All right, more and more employees are heading back to work in person post-pandemic, and according to some studies, they're bringing back some bad habits with them, so much so that some believe a proper workplace etiquette refresher might be needed. We got a chance to speak with an etiquette expert who gives some workplace tips for how to act appropriately at work, or school for that matter, along with some good old-fashioned people skills when working alongside others. They might be just as important as the actual work itself.
The return to the office was tough for many people. It meant returning to long commutes, less flexibility, and an unwelcome surprise. Some people have forgotten how to behave.
A resume builder survey from July found that nearly two-thirds of companies are planning to offer workplace etiquette classes in 2024. The issues are wide-ranging, from how to behave in front of clients to what conversations are appropriate for the office. And etiquette consultants like Ann Chertoff say demand is booming.
So in the past 2 years, we've seen a 100% increase in companies reaching out to us and ordering trainings in a variety of topic areas.
We spoke with Chertoff about some of the most common workplace behavior faux pas and how managers should handle them. And with the help of some willing coworkers, she gave us some hands-on pointers.
All right, so Ann, talk to us about proper workplace attire. We just saw workplace sweatsuit. What do you think of that?
So the way we do dress attire today is dress for your day. And if you're at home, you can definitely wear athleisure, you could wear sweatpants, because you're not interacting with other people in a visual way. But if you're going into the office, you need to step it up a little bit.
Now, some of these issues have been around for a long time.
Oh, come on! Do you see this?
Habits from the work-from-home era are coming back with people as they return to the office.
Leaving the dirty dish on the counter, not the right move.
No, because you're not being respectful or considerate to the other people that you work with.
Taking old-fashioned phone calls around coworkers can also lead to all sorts of problems.
Yellow. Yeah, he's sitting right behind me. Why?
It's not just eavesdroppers who cause friction.
Yeah, where are we going?
So if we were trying to get work done here, we were trying to have a meeting, this would probably be a little distracting.
So sometimes people don't realize that the volume of their voice is as loud as it is. And I've been a victim of that, so I completely get that. They might not realize that they're talking so loud. They might not realize that you've overheard their entire medical history on the phone.
Chertoff told me she works with all types of companies on workplace etiquette. And while all levels of workers participate, dealing with one group of employees has proven especially tricky.
Companies are hiring us to come in to teach new hires, Gen Z right out of college, first job right out of grad school, but also to kind of reinforce those skills to colleagues who were out of the office in remote settings for so many years, and now they're coming back.
Now, while this era of return to work has brought its challenges, there's good news too. Chertoff says all of these things are like muscle memory. So as we get used to being back together, we should get better at remembering how to behave.
For today's story, getting a 10 out of 10, what do you get when you cross skiing with a rodeo? A whole lot of awesome. And yeehaw! This is called ski-joring. Folks strapping on some skis or a snowboard, hanging on to a rope pulled by a galloping horse. During this annual competition in Colorado, these rodeo skiers hit speeds over 40 miles per hour with jumps as high as 8 feet. This event has been a tradition in this Colorado town since 1949. The word ski-joring, did you know, gets its roots from Norway, meaning ski driving. Giddy up. Had fun learning with y'all today, and we're going to do it again tomorrow, but first we're going to show some love. Shout out to the Dragons, bringing the heat from Brunswick Junior High School in Brunswick, Maine. We see you. Rise up. See you tomorrow. I'm Coy Wire, and we are CNN 10.